At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. Medical marijuana. Some call it an underappreciated drug that can treat anything from PTSD to Parkinson's disease. Others call it a backdoor attempt to legalize recreational marijuana. Joining us on The Commonwealth Matters today is State Representative Kim Moser of Taylor Mills, that is Northern Kentucky, and she is the former Northern Kentucky Director of Drug Control Policy. Representative Moser, welcome to The Commonwealth Matters.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Last week, the Medical Marijuana Legalization Bill, House Bill 136, passed the House by a pretty wide margin. It was a 59-34 vote. And heard a lot of anecdotal stories about how marijuana helps somebody with various medical issues, a lot of compelling, heartfelt, heart-wrenching stories. And, you know, I don't want to downplay anybody's suffering or whether they believe that marijuana helped, but there is a difference between anecdotal stories and good medicine, isn't there? And again, I don't want to downplay anybody's suffering, but we get our medicine in a certain way. So speak to that if you could.
And I agree. I mean, we would never disparage anyone for being in favor of this if they really feel like this is something that's going to help. But you're so right. We want safe medicines for folks. And we didn't hear a whole lot of scientific evidence presented, but we heard all of those anecdotal stories, and you're right, they are heart-wrenching. I mean, you know, I know that folks really struggle. We want to make sure that they're getting the medicines that they need, but medical marijuana is, it's really a misnomer. Marijuana is not a medicine, not yet, but it could be. And I agree that certainly it has medicinal properties, and the problem is we really don't know exactly what they are. And to call something a medicine before it goes through the process, the rigorous process that any other plant that becomes a medicine goes through, is, I think it's really not doing anyone any favors.
Yeah, no, this is good. This is one of the few drugs that is being pushed by, it seems like, majority opinion or very strong opinions. And I'm not aware of any other drug that has received so much attention or has been pushed by the general public demanding that it's legalized before any scientific research is done, before they do trial runs, before they figure out exactly what the drug does, before they figure out groups that might be negatively impacted. I'm thinking of nursing mothers, pregnant women, those with other health issues. We really don't know how marijuana interacts with these other conditions, do we?
Exactly. And that's what I was going to bring up. I had a conversation with an oncologist just the other day, and he said, you know, I have patients on really specific immunotherapies and very expensive chemotherapies. And why would I introduce a drug that I don't know how it's going to interact with the medication, this really specialized medication that they're on? It could be fine, or it could completely reverse the effects. We simply don't know. And I mean, that's just one example. You're right. I mean, we don't know how it interacts with any medications, really. Yeah. We do have a process. We have the FDA approval process, which, like I said earlier, every other medication starts out generally as a natural product, or many do, and they all go through a rigorous process to become a dosable, predictable, helpful, and safe medicine.
In 2019, Kim, the U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams said this. He was speaking to a Senate committee. He said, "I don't want anyone to mistake what I'm saying is applying that these products are considered safe for general adult usage." And by these products, he was talking about marijuana in various forms. He told these senators that marijuana legalization is a massive public health experiment. We need to learn from our mistakes and be careful of normalization of behavior. You know, Kentucky is in the middle of a drug epidemic right now. You were the director of the Northern Kentucky Drug Control Policy, and you're very aware of the various stages or different kinds of drug crises Kentucky's been through over the years. Are we entering another possible drug crisis? We're talking about legalizing something that has been against the law, federal law, for years. It still is, by the way, despite what the legislature did. That law was passed in spite of federal law saying it's illegal. Is it a Schedule 4 narcotic?
Law was passed in spite of federal law saying it's illegal. Is it a Schedule 4 narcotic?
It's a Schedule 1. So Schedule 1, we have scheduled all controlled substances are scheduled 1 through 5. And Schedule 1 means that there's no medical use. So that's what heroin is, and marijuana is in that same category. A few things. The scheduling is a problem. It's especially problematic for physicians who really can't legally prescribe. They put their DEA license at risk. They can, and that's why the language says that the physician will recommend. So it's all kind of, you know, skirting the issue. It's really circumventing what's in place. Now, should marijuana be a Schedule 1 drug? Probably not. Maybe it should be released from the schedule simply for research. I think it should. I think it should be easier to research and really kind of uncover those medicinal properties. So that, and there are a lot of problems with normalizing marijuana. It is addictive. Folks will say it isn't, but it is. I think probably anything could be addictive, but it does have addictive qualities. Is it causing or exacerbating the addiction problem that we have? Certainly, it's not making it better. It's introducing another controlled substance into our society. And people will say, well, it's already here. Well, I mean, that is true. I think maybe the barn door has been opened so wide that it's going to be hard to pull back enough to really prevent it from being further normalized. And by that, I mean, when you call something a medicine, people think it's safe. And so if we call, you know, we just passed a law that said, that medical marijuana or through the house, it's not fully through, in case folks are confused about that. But so we passed medical marijuana through the house. It is being called medical marijuana. And so it's normalized. It feels safe to people. And that's really by design. The marijuana lobbying effort is huge. It's big tobacco, probably big tobacco on steroids. It's a huge, huge business. And so part of the agenda is to normalize it. And, you know, I mean, there are issues definitely with medical marijuana programs and recreational programs, but they're kind of hidden in the Rocky Mountain HIDA report and the different HIDA reports from across the nation. And not everyone reads those and really understands the, increased DUIs and that sort of thing. So from my standpoint, there are probably medicinal qualities, and I just think that we need to go down the path of research.
Kim, I'd like to pick up on something you said about the addictive qualities of marijuana. That's something I hear marijuana advocates argue strenuously against. But according to the CDC study that they reference, it estimates that approximately 3 in 10 people who use marijuana have marijuana use disorder. Another study, and that's an addiction of one kind or another, is essentially what they're saying, where it affects them in a negative way. Another study that the CDC references estimates that people who use cannabis have about a 10% likelihood of becoming addicted to it. And the risk of developing marijuana, and this is important, developing marijuana use disorder is greater in people who start using marijuana during youth or adolescence and who use marijuana more frequently. And this is something I don't know if we're really considering strongly enough of how this affects young people, the normalization of marijuana use, calling it a drug, and just introducing it into our society and not considering how it impacts our kids. Is this a concern of yours?
It's a huge concern. We've seen the age of onset of use in the states who have legalized it, even for medicinal purposes, to be right around 12 years old. That is scary. I mean, that's really interfering with the growth and development of children who are learning to be resilient and to learn some really healthy coping skills. And when you introduce this kind of normal product, you know, it's harmless, it's not going to hurt you, and kids start using it as a coping skill, you know, because being 12, 13, 14 is stressful. And I'm very concerned about the lifelong inability to really manage your stress if you're utilizing a substance and that's coping skill, you have really interfered with long-term resilience.
Yeah, Kim, that's a really good point. It seems that, you know, we live in a frenetic society. We're so much going on at such a fast pace, whether it's our daily routine, our jobs, social media, there's so much coming at us so quickly that people get stressed and they deal with anxiety and other issues. And it's really a sign of unhealth or of some kind of disorder when you have to reach for some drug as a coping mechanism. And it goes across the board, whether it's tobacco, whether it's alcohol, or drugs like marijuana. And it seems that Kentucky we've dealt with addiction issues for so long, so many different kind of addiction issues. And of course, this is it opens the door to the possibility of another addictive product. Kim, we have just a few minutes, and I'd be reticent if we didn't talk about your bill, House Bill 604, which would create the Kentucky Center of Cannabis Research. Is that correct?
It is.
This bill did pass the House
93-0
unanimously. Now, this bill would set up a center at the University of Kentucky to research the possible medicinal benefits of cannabis. It would also look at the possible downsides of cannabis. It would fund the center with $2 million, but it begins with the idea of researching cannabis before legalizing it as a drug. Tell us more about what you're thinking about this bill.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I just think that Kentucky has a real opportunity to be a leader in research. And, you know, medical marijuana, the legalization, I think, is really putting the cart before the horse. Yeah. I think there is so much that we need to learn to safely call something a medicine, as we've said earlier. But so what this would do, the $2 million appropriation would be to set up and fund and run this center. The center would be set up at University of Kentucky. They already have robust hemp research center, so does U of L. And so what this does is convenes the stakeholders, anyone who is currently participating in research. And so this is going to be our R1 universities, that's UK and U of L, any other university who is participating in cannabis research, and any nonprofit who wants to participate could. So any entity would then apply for a grant out of this center. Our hope is to convene all of the stakeholders to disperse these grants for further research, really get together and understand, read, and just pour through research that's being done elsewhere and really look at those studies, increase clinical trials. And one thing that I felt really strongly about is allowing individuals who want to participate, say they have MS or they have some chronic illness that they want to really be part of research and see if this helps them, that they would apply. They could apply to the center to be part of clinical trials. And so that application process would be available to the public. Of course, the individual would undergo an assessment and a referral into the proper clinical trial. But I just think that this is a real opportunity. I think if we set up a center and pull together all of these kind of disparate pockets of research that are going on and get all of the stakeholders together to really understand what they're seeing and discuss it. And then there's a reporting mechanism, of course. As a taxpayer-funded center, we would expect a report. And there's actually even in statute, we are requiring an annual symposium. So this, again, would be information to the public to really disperse information, correct information, and hopefully be able to attract some federal dollars. I think, again, if you have a center for cannabis research, that we're really going to be able to pull in some federal dollars and some grants to fund this.
That's great.
I think it's a good long-term kind of ongoing proposal. And I told Representative Nemus, who's the sponsor of House Bill 136, the medical marijuana, this, you know, regardless of whether your bill passes or mine passes, I think that they can live together. Yeah. Certainly, I hope that mine goes all the way through and we can really get some research started. And he supported my bill. So I felt a tiny bit bad voting no on his bill, but I told him I was going to. So I just, you know, we're very friendly and I understand that his heart is in the right place. I just and I do tease him about being a lawyer and practicing medicine. That's just friendly banter.
That's good. So your bill did pass the entire House unanimously, 93-0. It is in the state Senate right now. Real quick, is the Senate going to take it up? What are the chances of it passing there?
Yeah, I'm hearing that it's been referred to A&R, and so I'm working with my good friend Senator Chris McDaniel. And hopefully we can get this passed. I have had some very, very positive meetings in the Senate about this.
Very good. State Representative Kim Moser, thank you for joining us on the Commonwealth Matters. God bless you and best wishes to you as you look to shepherd House Bill 604 into law.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me tonight.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky. Richard Nelson back with you on the Commonwealth Matters. And according to the national group SAM, Smart Approaches to Marijuana, legalizing marijuana is really about big money. Kevin Sabet, the founder and president of SAM, says this: the marijuana industry would like you to think that they represent a small mom and pop movement bent on undoing the harms of big tobacco, big alcohol, and big pharma. In reality, big marijuana is unequivocally linked to those three industries, as these titans of addiction are quickly becoming deeply invested in the marijuana industry. And he points out that Philip Morris, Altria, and Imperial Brands are all tobacco companies have invested in marijuana endeavors across the country. In fact, Altria has invested $2 billion in marijuana. A lot of money. Busch Beer, Heineken, Bacardi, all alcohol companies, of course, have also invested in marijuana. And then this is interesting and really fascinating. Big Pharma has invested heavily. Novartis, Purdue, and Teva, all pharmaceutical companies, are investing as well. And it makes you wonder what's going on. Political leaders are now lobbyists for big marijuana. John Boehner, former Speaker of the House of Representatives, Republican from Ohio,
He is one of the big lobbyists in Washington, D.C. for the marijuana industry. Tom Daschle, former majority leader in the U.S. Senate, is a lobbyist for big marijuana. Dana Rohrabacher, a Republican from out in California. The list goes on and on. Big marijuana has entrenched itself into federal politics. Of course, in state politics, we're seeing the move here to legalize medical marijuana, and the trend is in that direction. But we got to ask ourselves, is that trend a good thing for our nation? Is this something that we should favor? Does it make us better? Does it make us healthier, stronger? Is it a way to, as Kim Moser said, we in the previous segment, are we losing coping mechanisms, natural coping mechanisms when we're under stress? Unfortunately, people too often go to drugs, alcohol, even legal drugs, and tend to abuse them. And that abuse leads to addiction. And I think the question before us is, will legalizing marijuana, even under the auspices of medical marijuana, is that really the right direction for us to move in? I want to go back to smart approaches to marijuana. And CPC actually worked with this group a couple of years ago, right before COVID. We had a press conference and we brought together major stakeholders across Kentucky to meet with leadership in our state legislature and then to raise concerns about legalizing marijuana, whether it's recreational or under the auspices of medical. There are many stakeholders. You had the Commonwealth Attorneys Association. You had the Offices of Drug Control Policy. You had the State Police Association. Many others as well were engaged on that issue because they've seen firsthand the negative effects of marijuana. So Sam, Smart Approaches to Marijuana, had a representative come and join Commonwealth Policy Center at a press conference, and then we did a legislative met with an important legislative leader. But Sam brings up a number of good points, one of which is that cannabis is much more potent today than it was even a couple of decades ago. And here's the equivalent that they make. It's the THC level, the psychotropic part, the active ingredient in marijuana, THC, has really increased in today's marijuana that's on the market. And the change in marijuana potency today versus 20 years ago is akin to the caffeine change from one 20-ounce cola a day to 33 16-ounce cappuccinos a day. Now, again, this is the equivalent. The kind of THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, is like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, marijuana THC levels were kind of like having a 20-ounce cola a day. And I'm not equating the effects, by the way. Having even a low-grade, using low-grade marijuana 20 years ago was very different than having a 20-ounce Coke. But the equivalent in change in the active ingredient is the point here. And it's like a 20-ounce Coke to having 33 16-ounce cappuccinos a day. And I wonder if users, and if lawmakers for that matter, really are considering how potent it is. Consider this. More stone people today do not help society. And you could say that with other addictions. More drunk people do not help society. More people who are addicted to tobacco do not help society. In fact, there are negative health effects with each of those. But sometimes those health effects spill over into the public realm. When you have somebody who's an alcoholic and tends to put himself out there in public from time to time, there's a chance that we'll experience public drunkenness from that person. There's a chance that that person gets behind the wheel and is driving while intoxicated. That becomes a health issue. More people today that are using cannabis are getting behind the wheel when they're driving, and that becomes a public policy issue and an issue of concern as well. So marijuana, cannabis, is addictive, despite what proponents say. According to the Mayo Clinic, the Cleveland Clinic, the World Health Organization, the CDC, marijuana is addictive, and it's much more potent, as I said in the past. The brain changes. According to the National Institutes of Health, regular marijuana use can reduce IQ points by 8 points. and it may be irreversible. Regular marijuana use also impairs memory and learning. By the way, I'm probably sounding like a commercial from the 70s or even further back, the anti-marijuana campaigns, Reefer Madness, trying to bring about alarm. Well, I think the facts speak for themselves, and I'm not trying to bring about alarm. Really, what I'm trying to do is to bring about awareness and to consider the facts before we have a major public policy change here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. We really need to look at the big picture and consider all of the facts. Look at what the research says. Look at what the major medical institutes that aren't being funded by Big Pharma, that are not being funded by certain interest groups, but look at what their research says. That's really important before we have a major shift. So consider this. Marijuana can be a pathway to other drugs for abuse. 4 out of every 10 lifetime marijuana users will go on to use another drug in their lifetime. According to the American Journal of Psychiatry, and I quote, cannabis use, even among adults with moderate to severe pain, was associated with a substantially increased risk of non-medical prescription opioid use. That's important because we're often told that marijuana is safer than opioid use, but it's really not. Not only is it not safer, but it is a gateway to opioid use, which Kentucky is in a crisis with so many people using opioids and overdosing on opioids. Here's another researcher in a medical journal found that marijuana users reported more than 4 times odds to develop psychoses than those who do not use marijuana. So you're 4 times more likely, if you're a regular marijuana user, 4 times more likely to develop some kind of psychoses. We're going to wrap this up. We've got just a minute here. I could go on and on. I don't have time, obviously, to do that. But I think as Kentuckians, as concerned citizens, and as responsible citizens, I think that we should let the facts speak for themselves. Kim Moser mentioned that she has sponsored a bill that would create the Kentucky Center for Cannabis Research. That's the place to begin. Before legalizing anything, find out any benefits that are associated with cannabis, but also look at the harms and look at the downside. And when we do that, we can make a sound public policy from that. So, all right, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us in the Commonwealth Matters. God bless you, and we will see you next week.